Welcome to Conversations with Ask Ash. Conversations with Ask Ash focuses on people, processes, and outcomes. Ashley dives into everyday conversations around work efficiency, team productivity, and project execution. Let's get into the show. And now, your host, Ashley Schuler.
What's happening, everyone? And welcome to another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash, Season 7, Built from Scratch series. And I'm excited for you to tune in today's episode with Gabrielle Hayes. She is a dynamic powerhouse in the product development space. And let me tell you something, you are going to be blown away by her story. I met Gabrielle on LinkedIn and we started chatting all things product, all things roadmaps, everything in between. And so you're going to tune into her story and you're going to see what she's blown up and what she is building from scratch. And so I know that you're going to be inspired by her story. So tune into this episode. Let me know what you think and definitely reach out to Gabrielle. Tell her what you love about the episode. We out. What's happening, everyone? And welcome to another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. If you've been in this series, and hopefully you haven't delayed and you've been listening, we've been in a fantastic series called Built from Scratch, where we're talking about what does it really take to build a program, a project, an initiative, in some cases, a business from scratch. And so we've been on this journey with several of my favorite people talking about their personal journey of building really cool things. And so today I am with Gabrielle Hayes and this is going to be good, y'all. This is going to be a good one. Okay. Just everybody just breathe because this is going to be a great conversation. because this is something unique. Gabrielle and I have not met like in person physically, but just in the virtual airwaves of LinkedIn. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So everybody, wherever you are, clap your hands up. I know this is something new because y'all are like, why? She doesn't do this in her other podcast where she gives a good old clap up. We're going to give a warm welcome to Gabrielle Hayes. What's happening? Welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Ash, I'm so excited to spend time with you.
Oh, this is going to be so good. You know, I've been talking to a lot of really great people about their particular journeys. And the people I've been talking to have been doing some really cool things inside of their lives and their businesses. And we're going to get into something that you did last year that was pretty phenomenal. Not was, because it's still active, but it is pretty exciting. But we're going to get to it in a minute, but let's get into who you are, because I want people to kind of get into the heart and soul of who you are. And so tell us, introduce yourself. Who are you in this season?
That.
Yeah. Who are you in this season in particular?
And you asked me to do this without titles, which was challenging for sure, but I was excited. You know, it's kind of like a good new year reflection. So I think without titles, I am a woman who is very multi-passionate and chases a lot of those things that pop in my mind or that are ideas that I'm really excited about. And I am a woman who doesn't give up. I am, you know, kind of laughed lately and said I'm starting to drop my resiliency badge. I don't want to wear that as something very proud necessarily, but I do love that I've been able to just really explore and accept failures along the way, and be really proud of what learnings come out of that.
So you said something that I think was very monumental that I feel will be a part of the story that we'll get into, which is about failures and about the learning along the way. Now, we'll put a pin in that because I want to go somewhere, but we want to build up to it. Now, here's the question, though, which I'm very curious, because you know, late last year, and you can give us a little bit of the timeline. You know, you launched a new business or a new. Tell us about that. Was that a new form of it, or is this something that you always kind of had in the pocket? Tell us about what that is.
Yeah, this is a completely new form for me. So with Sequence Partners, when I went out on my own as a product management consultant, there was zero intentionality in it. I had been a consultant full time and knew I needed to go out on my own for some personal reasons around my life. And so I said, well, I can do what they're doing. I'm doing it now. I'm doing it very successfully. I see what they're charging. I can do those things. And so I did. But to no shocker to anyone, after 2 years in, I still didn't feel fulfilled, just as I didn't when I was a full-time employee, because I left and just duplicated what I was already doing. But I did absolutely have a passion and still do have an absolute passion for product management. And last year, for anyone who was in the industry, they really realized, and you can see, the recruiting process is broken and we're forgetting about the humans in the process. So I took that lack of intentionality that I had to learn from, plus this desire to really support the product management people of this industry that I love so much, and started creating a career empowerment firm where we can help them figure out, how do I stay in this industry that I absolutely love, but also find a career path that's aligned to me and who I am.
So this is really, this is this empowerment piece. Did you feel in your early stages of your career in product, did you feel as if you had that level of support, or like, what was those early stages looking like? Because I feel like that's a definitive choice in like where you are like currently to be able to call it that. So in the beginning, was that, what was that entering into the product like? What was that?
Yeah. So I fell into it by accident, like most of us do. And, you know, I was very lucky that I had access to coaches and mentors and trainers, because that's not the common story for many product managers who fall into it. And then as I progressed in my career, I was chasing titles, I was chasing money, I was chasing responsibilities, but I wasn't slowing down to figure out, which environments do I do really well in? What type of products do I want to work on? What type of work do I actually want to do? So a lot of it came from hardships and learning along the way. And for a long time, I thought something was wrong with me.
Oh no.
Because I just kept saying, well, I take a new job about a year in, I'm like, oh, this isn't for me. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Well, I wasn't being honest with myself. So that's where that empowerment came from.
Wow. I mean, and I think most of us, I know I have fell into that trap too, of like, you know, you fall into something, you know, and you happen to have a few good skill sets, and then you just kind of, all right, this looks good, you know, and you're just kind of going, but there's nothing that had depth to the why. Where did you start to formulate that? Because I think that whether you're building a career, or business or what have you, like, where did you start to get your, where did you start getting your why? Where did you get your why?
You know, to be truthful, I had a very traumatic experience a couple years ago, and it forced me to either decide to wake up and show up in my life, or there wasn't a life to keep living. And that was a lot of it, was I was 2 years into my healing journey last year, and that's when I really realized, and I love that word you use, depth, that, yeah, I can show up and I can do a good job and I can collect a nice paycheck, but do I feel that depth and that connection to the work that I'm doing? And that started with having to feel that depth and connection in myself.
Wow. Wow. That was the turning point. You had an experience and then you had a turning point. And then that's when you said, in going back to something you said earlier, which was you weren't being honest with yourself. Were those two connecting pieces?
Yeah, because, you know, I think for most of us, right, grow up, go to college, get a job, if you choose, right, get married, have kids. And there's just this like hurry up down the path. So I was never honest with myself that I am a creative person. I do want to be running a business. I do want to do work that I feel like makes an impact, not just collects a paycheck. And so all of those things I had to get real with myself about before I could get real about what work I did going forward.
Wow. Wow. And I think so this is so powerful because, you know, it's almost like that. It's almost, and I'm trying to formulate this as I'm thinking, because I've even seen myself where you see maybe a shell, you know, of who you are. And then you're thinking to yourself, all right, I got two options. Head down the path of continuing to do what I'm doing, or I have the opportunity to do something different. For you, what was either a question you had for yourself, a thought process, or a first step in the new direction that you were headed?
I think it really was around, what did I want my life to look like? Mm-hmm. And how could I marry that to making an impact to communities that I cared about?
That's really good. And even for the type of work that you did in product, what type of industries were you in? Like, yeah, what type of industries were you a part of?
I've done it all. I've been employee number 6 at a startup. I've consulted for Apple and everything in between.
Wow. Wow. That's quite a range that you've seen. So you've seen it from we're starting something, and then you've seen it from that big corporation piece of it. And so I imagine too that even seeing those pieces in those spectrums, what was also formulating in your mind about what you could do differently or better, or like you said, you're talking about serving the communities. What was some of the things that were starting to formulate? But you know how you're in that stage of like, there's something there, but you don't know what the there is. What was that kind of journey like?
This is going to be a little bit of a hot take for my product friends.
That's okay. That's good.
I wholeheartedly believe our customers have to be at the forefront of every decision we're making. And I mean over revenue, over employees.
Oh dear.
Over growth, over everything. And I think revenue, employee, your culture, all of that positively gets impacted by focusing on your customers first. But what struggled with was finding companies who actually lived that value out and actually believed that. And so that was part of that. I kept changing environments and I kept changing companies because I was looking for someone who put customers first and would move fast.
Ooh.
And the reality of especially the product world right now is if you're VC or angel funded, you're revenue driven, and I don't care what you say. You have to report earnings and results back to your investors. And that's your number one goal and your number one guiding factor. And that was hard for me.
Wow. So on the front lines of things, you're doing the work, you're skilled at it. Because it wasn't as if you weren't even, like, you were successful in what you were doing. But it was that still that underlying piece of like, well, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. So walk us through to what does, you know, even going from company to company and then you giving even that pivotal point of saying, all right, I got choice A or choice B. What were some more foundational steps? Did you call some mentors? Did you start sketching some things out? Like, you know, how did that all play a role?
Yeah. So what I will say, what I did and what I recommend now are two different things.
Yeah. That's good though.
So what I did was I started side hustling and subcontracting through other mentors that I knew that already had a product management consulting firm. And I definitely recommend that because it gets your feet wet, lets you really strengthen up your consulting skills, and gives yourself this like permission to say, I can do this. I could do good work at it and I can go out on my own. But when I decided to go out on my own, I just did it. I didn't like do a business plan. I didn't, you know, have a sales, you know, funnel. I didn't do any of that. And now I've launched a secondary business. I'm 3 years in. I've, you know, been through the journey now. So I definitely teach people otherwise to be a little bit more planned around what they're doing. But ultimately, you just got to get out there and do it.
Okay. And I think from what you said, that just getting out there and do it. But this is the interesting part of me studying about product and the distinction between like the project management world and product management, which is that, you know, we got this sequential kind of thing going on. Not so much, you know, sometimes it's agile-ish and whatnot. But even for a product, what I've observed is that in something I read, minimum viable prototype. Let me see if I got that right. And not having this aspect of the perfection piece. Now, is that really kind of your, when you're just getting out there and doing it, was that sort of your, because you came from that world, so you're just like, I can go out and do it.
Yeah. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? The failures and taking the learning from them. Is if I decided I was going to show up in my business, and anytime a customer or a potential customer gave me feedback and I changed or tweaked from that, then that was a win for me. And so that's exactly how an MVP should be treated in product, is it's get as minimal out the product that out the door that you can to get feedback from customers and learn and make changes.
Mm. That's good. And so even for your own getting out there in business, getting out there and having your own business, what did you pull from that in terms of feedback and, you know, and getting out there? What were some of those lessons that you learned initially?
Yeah, I mean, a perfect example of this is in my secondary business, we started by teaching on-demand training classes. My business partner and I teach together in person at corporations. So we were like, it's a digital world. People need access to this, even if their company won't bring them in to have this large training. And it just didn't turn out the way we wanted to. But what really took off was something that completely unexpected us, was people who want to know how to launch their product management, coaching, and consulting business. I'd be lying to you if I said we weren't asked how to do it, how did we do it, what did you do first, every single week for a year. So we just had to finally like get real with each other and say, we thought these on-demand classes was what the world needed. That's not what they're craving. Our network is craving over here this something different. And as a matter of fact, right now, we've just completely revamped and relaunched and rebranded to support what we've learned from our network and our customers.
What's happening, everyone? I hope that you are enjoying the Built From Scratch season. I love that we're unpacking this topic. What does it mean to build a program, project, an initiative, and sometimes your life from scratch? And did you know that there are three reasons typically why projects fail? Number one, poor planning. Number two, unclear goals. And number three, miscommunication. So what do we do about this? We build better workflows. Yes, we build better workflows. And in fact, I have a service that will just address this, the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. I'm excited about this because I get to partner with you for one day to set up workflows that are going to help you plan better projects, execute efficiently, and be able to do away with miscommunication with your team members. Oh yes, you're going to have a peace of mind. Sounds like a dream? Well, it can be your dream. So be sure to apply for the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. All the information is in the show notes. Back to the episode. Wow. So everything that you said about in your career, where you're just like, you know what? The customer got to be a part of from A to Z to Y to J, was actually proving itself in real time. That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. So you're getting this feedback. You and your business partner are like, all right, well, I think we got what we got. And so now it's time to do the revamping of the business. Now walk us through too, you know, so when you're doing that, you know, because you're really, are you shifting visions and missions with that, or just your roadmap just changes?
That's a great question. I think overall our vision and mission has stayed the same, but our target customer is very different. So how we're going to talk to them, how we're going to reach out to them, how we talk about ourselves is going to change now. So obviously, yeah, that has downstream impacts to the roadmap.
That's good. That's really good. And I think for, you know, our listeners, you know, you all have been hearing a few different, I think, themes that have been highlighted here. You know, I think one is this aspect of, you know, developing your why. It's also to in really listening to that inner self that says, all right, I think I got to be real about what I'm seeing, hearing, and feeling. And then two, and this is what I love too, when you say like, what would I've done then versus what I'm going to tell you now that I've done, that there's still a balance of you go out and take your own risk, but also be willing to either slow it down or take a different direction, especially when you're collecting that particular, you know, piece of qualitative data and whatnot. But two, I kind of want you to add to this and into this perspective is that, you know, you seem to always be pinpointing, especially for product, like ways in which people need to be thinking things a little bit more strategically and critically, pointing out the trends and the patterns. And so when you see a zig and then from my perspective, I see a zag, walk us through you making your mark or your company making the mark, right? You know, what is some of your thought process, you know, with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, so many people are afraid of risk because in their mind, risk equals recklessness. Like just going out there and spending all your money or building all the things or, you know, whatever it may be for your career or your business. And I think there is a balance that you can have between taking risky moves that you plan on learning from, and that's not overcommitting your resources, whether that's people or money or whatever it may be. And so for me, that's how I see people being able to zig or zag and really find that strategic side of themselves, is let yourself explore a little bit. Give yourself these kind of boundaries or borders to try different things without completely going off the rails.
That's good. That's really, really good. Because I think you're absolutely right. This aspect of risk means, what if I lose something? Rather than, well, what am I going to gain from it that I didn't have before? I really like that. So going back to the story, you got the data, you know, they're asking how, and you know, both you and your business partner are like, okay, well, we got the blueprint. We got now our target market. So then how are you all in terms of, you know, splitting up duties and knowing what to offer and all of that? How do those things, because you could do a whole menu, but you know, but do you? So how do you go about deciding, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. How do you go about deciding what to do and how?
Yeah. I think this is a great question too. When you go back and, are my customers at the forefront of what I want? When we first launched this program that helps people launch their own businesses, we were like, oh, we're going to give away one-on-one coaching and we're going to do this course and we're going to do this thing and this. And what we realized is they want it very simple. They want to know, can I show up and learn live with you a certain amount of times a month? Can I do some work on my own? And do I have access to you to ask questions if something goes on and I just need, you know, clarity? But when we first started, we had 7 courses on there and we had coaching and we had all these things. And so we did have that whole menu, but it was all because let's get it out there quick and let's learn. And so all of that's coming down and we are going to offer one thing, our program to launch your own business. And I did the same thing with Sequence Partners. Even when I made the transitions to career empowerment, my mind instantly went to, well, all the other coaches in the world, they offer one-on-ones and group coaching and this thing and this thing and this thing, right? And I was like, well, how am I going to price it? And how am I going to communicate it? And how am I going to sell it? And I just woke up one morning and I said, I can't do this. It's too much for me to figure out. Why would I expect a customer to figure that out? And one of my greatest success factors that I would recommend anyone, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, to do is I have brainstorm battle buddies. And I just text one of them who's been really intimately working with me to help build out the career empowerment firm. And I said, I'm just really thinking this is what I have to do. And she's like, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. Simplify it, make it easy to say yes or no, you're not the right person for me. But this is how we work together, or I can help find someone who's better suited for you. And then that's it. Those are the only decisions my customers have to make. And it makes their lives a lot easier, and it makes mine.
Wow. Because you said two things I think that were super important. One, you talked about having a battle buddy or buddies. and really making that conscious choice to say, I'm ping-ponging, you know, basically playing tennis about here, and really getting wise counsel. And this is, like I said, I think this is a great, like, networking, building relationship 101 tip, is finding your people that you can really confide in. And that's really powerful to be able to say, no, that is, I'm confirming that choice. So after you've confirmed that choice, then you go and then you just go and build the thing. Or was this thing already, you kind of already had it, right? You just needed to be.
Yeah. But, you know, every time you change your offering or your career, right? I have to go back through, like, what is my email sequence look like? How do I introduce myself? What people say, what do you do for a living or whatever, you know? So you do have to kind of take a step back, and as you make these changes, figure out what your new identity is and how you're publicly going to talk about yourself.
Yeah, I think that's really good, because, and I just see from a, when you think of it from a operational perspective as well, you have the idea, even if something that you're doing, something that's new, you do want to think about what's the impact of, all right, like you said, do I need new software? Or do I need to upgrade? Or like, do I need to have the same thing or an SOP or, you know, whatever the case is, you know, the process and whatnot. I think that's something that's critical to take note of. So this is really cool. This is really cool. So you have the offer, you're ready to go. Well, I'm assuming you're ready to go in the sequence of your story, but tell us about the prepping of, you know, of the website and getting ready to make the announcement. And like you said, what are you saying in terms of like starting to prep people about the thing?
Well, I'm a project manager by trade, and I was a project manager before I got into product. So I always go back to that, right? There is an order of operations in which certain things need to happen.
Yes.
And my biggest, I think, piece of advice there was, when you know it's right, you're actually going to move a little bit slower. So I took time before making these announcements to really put together, what was I going to say? Who was I talking to? How did I want to communicate with them? And then also putting all of that on the website. And the beauty of building off of your customer's feedback is I can put their words on my website.
Ooh, that's good.
I'm talking to their pain points. They've already given them to me because they've told me what sucked about the previous offer or what was missing or what is still a pain for them. Now you're speaking directly to them with their words.
Wow. And so for the, but riddle me this, for those that are saying, well, you know, like, what if I just don't have that many people, or, you know, how do you go and do a little piloting beforehand to kind of gather more of that?
Yeah. And listen, I think we are in the best time to launch a business right now. Because one, I mean, look at how you and I got connected, right? On LinkedIn. We live in different states. We're technically in different industries. We would have probably never crossed paths. But if I was doing something that required project management, I can hit you up on LinkedIn and say, hey, can we have a coffee chat, or can I send you a survey? But not only that, think about Reddit and Facebook groups and hashtags on Instagram and all of these things. You can go do as much customer discovery as you want before you spend a dollar building the first thing.
Yes.
But also, yes, I absolutely recommend a pilot that you're doing at a lower price point that you know is not perfectly polished, and let that beta group know. You're in my beta group. It's not perfect. It doesn't have a pretty bow on
right.
it. And I want you to tell me everything that wasn't great about the experience so that we can make it better when we're selling to the full audience.
Well, that's good. And I think from a semi-nerdy technical question, I'm really interested in the collecting of it, the storing, and how you organize that. Is there a particular thing that you're like, I can just look up my things and it pops up?
Yeah, so nowadays there's a tool out there, non-sponsored, but I just love them, called Devi AI.
Okay.
And you give them your keywords that are important for your business or your career or whatever it is that you're looking for, and they scour the interwebs, and every day you open it up and it has, here's all the LinkedIn postings that have that keyword. Here's all the Facebook postings that have that keyword. Here's news that's coming up with that keyword. So you can really stay in the loop that way. And then the other thing, you've got to tell people what you're doing. If it's LinkedIn where you hang out, tell people what you're working on. If it's Facebook, if it's Instagram, you'd be shocked at how many people actually want to help. Because we've all had really crappy customer experiences. We've all used tools and software that we hate.
Right.
So we're all personally invested in seeing something come out on the market.
That's true. That's so true. Okay. So this is something that I did not realize was a thing. I think really that I felt like the product space really kind of taught me was this aspect of, or my observation that is, of this, of sharing, of just sharing, like, what you're doing, like, you know, giving folks an update. I, for one, I think had not seen that in some of the online business entrepreneurship spaces. Yeah, I just hadn't seen that. I seen like, okay, like, here it is, launch it, and then they get their customers. But I started seeing it more and more once I started following product people, that people were like, hey, I have this thing. Here's where I'm at with it. Love it if you would just click on the button and just tell me what you think so far. And I was like, what? What do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? And they were just like, we know it's ugly, but go ahead and just like give us feedback.
Tell me how ugly my baby actually
right,
is.
Right. That's exactly the phrasing. I was like, what do you mean? You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? So, okay. So this was something that's super fascinating. So what you're saying is that going ahead and just telling the people, hey, this is what I'm working on, would love your feedback. And just building on top of that.
And, you know, you have to think too, like from a product lens, that's how we operate. And that's why I'm such a big proponent that I don't care if you are a plumbing business or if you are the most digital business in the world. If you operate like a product manager's mindset, you're going to see more success. Because you're constantly improving and you're transparent. And that's what product should be about. We have ceremonies directly, you know, created for us to let people in on what's happening, whether it's fully done, partially done, not even touched. And so to carry that through and how you operate a business really does open up the door to just you're going to be the best customer service person out there.
Wow. Because I think when you just hit the nail on the head on the customer service piece, because, you know, you when you and your business partner got all the feedback, got the one offer, knowing what the people want, I think on the flip side of things, when you hear about customer service, you mainly hear about, you know, how I answer an email or like, you know, or the client experience, right? You hear about that aspect. But is what are some of the other intangible aspects what are some of the intangible aspects that we need to be thinking about from a product perspective on customer service? And does that what does that include, if that makes sense? I think, yeah.
Yeah. I think looking at the customer journey.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get to me? Maybe they're not a paying customer. Maybe they've never even heard my name or my business's name, or company's name before. What is their journey to getting there and finding out more about us? So you start there. Is it easy? Is it simple? Am I talking to them, not about them or about me for them? But then once they land on your site or your social media or on a webinar, whatever it is, how you interact with them prior to them becoming a paying customer, again, is it easy? Do they know what they're supposed to be doing? Do they know how to make a decision of yes or no? Do they know how to pay? Do they know how to sign up? Like, all of those things is, are we easy to interact with? And are we easy to make an impact on their life on?
Right.
Because if the customer is getting ready to spend money with you, it's because they are fed up with whatever problem you're supposedly solving for them, or they're just being curious and want to experience it. But either way, it should be supporting them in their journey.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really good because the customer being at the center, going back to your first statement, at every aspect and every angle of it, that is super powerful. So going back to the story and the timeline. So when you're planting and, you know, you're kind of getting people ready and really telling people, hey, something's coming. Here's what's happening. What were you also personally feeling? Excitement, you know, nervousness. Like, what were some of the feelings that were going on?
Yeah, I don't say I would have too much nervousness because I'd already tried something and it didn't work, right? So it's like, I'm just going to try something else and that might work better. And there's always this, not to diminish the reality of looking for a job, right? But if entrepreneurship ends up not working out, I can go get a job or I can go work for someone else. Like, there's always these kind of backups, these safety nets that you can go to. So for me, it was just excitement. But then also, how do I organize myself? Because when you get to that excitement phase, you just want to tell the world. And what happens is you do tell the world and then everyone goes, but what was she actually talking about? So, you know, you do want to have it organized enough to where your messaging is very concise, it's very succinct, and, you know, who needs to know the certain details has access to them.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that that's really good. So even you've tried it, you know, you already kind of know, like, all right, we've tried, we've done it. And so now there's also a bit of like certainty of like, because we know the customer has informed us, you have like this whole thing of like, it's a new level of confidence. So now it's just really just sharing this really huge endeavor to say, listen up, folks, new era is here. So when the quote unquote doors open, so to speak, walk us through, you know, A, again, like, you know, you're excited, but then also too, you know, clients and, you know, speaking engagements and things like that. How are you also making people aware that this is a thing that's happening?
Yeah. I heard very clearly last year, and many different of my healing journeys, I need to be visible.
Mm.
Now, my business partner is active on LinkedIn, but beyond that, the podcasting, the speaking engagements, the, you know, getting on stages, that's not her jam, and that's okay. So you have to figure out when you're getting visible for your business, what does that look like for you? And that goes back to being honest with yourself. Because I want to be an author, I want to be on stages, and I want to be on podcasts. But I would do that all day long versus writing blog posts, being, you know, on Instagram 24/7, trying to grow my following. And so you just have to do what fits for you, because I look at these business owners on Instagram that are killing it, and I'm like, that's incredible. But every time I go on there, I'm like, I got about 10 minutes before I'm out. I don't want to do anything with it. And so you also, one thing I will say that we learned as a good failure for people to take note of was, I'm not a marketer, so I don't know how to market myself or my business. I have to learn as I go. So when I first launched, I got approached by the TikTok business agent and was like, you know, we'll help you grow your account and get your ads running and all these things. And I was like, great. I don't know anything about TikTok. I probably do need help. Let me sign up for this, right? And they did what they said they were. I have, whatever, 1,500 followers on TikTok. But you know what I learned? My audience is not on TikTok.
Ah.
So it doesn't matter how many people I have there.
Sure.
It has to be the rooms that my customers are in. So I know my customers, they're listening to podcasts, they're on LinkedIn, and they're going to conferences again. So I'm going to meet them there. And that's how we're going to have those conversations and get visible for myself and for the businesses.
And what I liked about what you said before was, you know, A, I'm not a marketer, so I'm learning as I'm going, knowing also the boundaries of like, okay, that we got some people rocking on the IG, right? You got some, you know, and that's good for them, but knowing your own fit. So I just also want to hear from your perspective too about what did you give yourself like a pep talk in terms of like, knowing that you had to get yourself out there, were you also someone who leaned into the introversion side and maybe was like, I don't know about stages and all this, or like, how did you start to journey with, I'm going to be more visible.
So you know what's interesting is I actually am an introvert. Like if you say, go to this room where there's 400 people and you're just going to walk around a network, like, no thanks. I'm sick. I don't feel great that day. I can't do it. But if I'm showing up to speak about something in particular, I know that my message is helping at least one person. And I was asked to be there, so I don't mind getting up and speaking about it. But like I said, networking in rooms, not my thing. And of course, I tried that because you try everything when you're starting out. But I don't tend to go to those kind of events because I don't show up authentically that way. And I don't have good ROI on those. But sitting here talking to you is like just having coffee with a friend, and I can let it all out. I don't mind telling my story. I want people to not make the same mistakes I did. But I just want to share that message in a way that I'm comfortable and I can be authentic doing so.
Wow. That's good. Because I'm not sure in terms of, you know, when I kind of reflect about my own journey and just knowing, and it sounds like did you know very quickly that, all right, in a lot of rooms, but if I'm asked to say, hey, we need you to talk about these three things. Then you know. Is that something that you knew right away, or did you have to have a long standing thing of like forcing yourself to do it? Cause sometimes, you know, just be honest, you know, we be places we force ourselves, and it's just that we just know it's not working.
Yeah. I mean, I think I forced myself looking back longer than I should have.
Okay. Yeah.
But I also think I short circuited it by being honest with myself to say, when I walk into a room networking, I cower down, I run to the corner. Like, your body is going to tell you where it's thriving.
That's right.
So as long as you're willing to lean into that, you can short circuit that learning time.
Exactly.
your effort.
That's so true. That's so true. And you mentioned a couple times, so as much as you kind of desire to share, because I want to talk through this aspect of, you mentioned two things, resiliency badge, and then you talk about a couple times, you've talked about healing journey. And so when some of us, you know, when we kind of go through our life in things that happen, you know, sometimes that does shape us, whether it is one good on one path and another path. You know, when you were talking about going through your own journey, if you want to tell us just as much as you want to, like, you know, where were you in the healing journey? And then how did you kind of navigate yourself to say, I'm looking to start a new chapter, or, you know what I'm kind of, you know, getting to? Yeah.
So it's going on 6 years now, but my son passed away, and
so that sorry.
Is one of those wow. moments that literally will define your life. And I had two other children at the time that he passed away, and I was in my room hidden for weeks because I couldn't face life. And when I finally did, it was this moment where I woke up and I said, I have one shot at this thing called life. And it's literally not promised to any of us to have a secondary day to come back and do it again. So we just decided as a family, we were going to live for him. The life he didn't get to experience, we were going to do it for him. And so I just started saying yes to a lot more things and no to things that I absolutely knew were not my vibe, and built this life that I really wanted to live.
Man, I mean that is so powerful in a lot of different ways. And I think seeing the arc of your journey, like just being able to and just feeling that right when you're talking about, like, all right, I'm in this situation, I've had this tragedy, everybody's experiencing, but you are like in the space and you have this moment where, you know, it's all right. It's what's this life going to be like? Wow. And at the time, did you have these battle buddies with you that or you had a different, you had some support system too, as you're journeying through?
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel very fortunate at that phase of my life. I was growing out of that young adulthood where you're like just chasing friends to have friends.
Yeah.
Where I was being much more intentional about who I was surrounding myself with.
Mm-hmm.
And so to this day, I have a personal board of directors that
yeah.
I reach out to them regularly. My hope is one day I'm going to have like this trip where I can invite them all to some island to come hang out with me.
Come on.
You know, that's right. But you can't see your own blind spots. And you can't educate yourself out of blind spots you can't see. So I needed these women or men or just people around me to say, like, I think you're stepping out of your lane, or what you're doing is risky or scary, but I think it's worth it. You should do it. And I'm, you know, I've been married 10 years, and I think that's part of it too, is I did have, no matter how scary everything else got, I did feel like I had this stability at home. And it doesn't have to be a life partner. It can be a parent or a sibling or a friend, like whoever it is. But I do think it's very important for everyone to intentionally have a safe space and a safe group of people that they can truly be themselves and explore in.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think you're spot on with that. And this, we hear about the personal board of directors, but I think on a lot of different ways that even can be challenging to find, because you're changing, you're going into a different direction, and you're kind of like, well, who do I need? And like, where are the people? Did you find these? Was it easy to find these people? Did you stumble across them as you're developing, kind of getting into your next chapter?
They're all people from my life at different phases or different experiences. Many of them I've worked with at those companies that I, you know, used to be at. Some of them are family. Some of them are friends. And some of them are ones that I know are going to challenge me in the most respectful way. But I know that I can get caught up in my own ideas and I need someone to push back on me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just a running theme, and I think just is such a key takeaway for myself and the listeners, is that you've pointed out this aspect of being honest with yourself at multiple stages of your journey. And so this aspect of building from scratch, whether you are someone who is listening, you're like, well, entrepreneurship, that's not my lane. You know, that still carries whether you're building your career, you know, in all of that. And so I'd love for you to also to speak to, you know, this aspect too, for the listeners, is like, how do you keep yourself staying, whether you get the right rhythm, you know, how you're, you know, and I think you've kind of been giving the indicators, but like, even you have a family. So not making the sequence partners your life in your existence, you know, how in the family factor and in the finding the rhythm of fun and life and, you know, and marriage and all of that. How do you do the rhythm stuff? Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good question. And I think it's something that you never have to actually interview.
Yeah.
So starting with giving yourself permission to just keep trying. And when it doesn't feel right, go change it. For me, when I decided to become an entrepreneur, that was everything to me. I was all in. I was working sun up, sun down. And I had to reshift and find a balance. And I will tell you, for me personally, I don't like having to be mom and business owner at the same time. That is a chaos agent for me. When the kids are like, I want water and waffles and whatever it is, and I'm trying to write emails, I instantly am like so frustrated. But when I found my rhythm with work, where like I do my best work at night when they're in bed. So during the day, if I'm not on a meeting, I'm with them. Now I don't mind. I will go get all the water and waffles you want. But if I have the door closed and I tell you mommy's working, then like
mommy's
that means
working.
I'm off limits. And so, you know, I think just trying those kind of things. And for a long time, I rented an office outside of the house because I knew that made me a better mom. That when I was gone, I was working. When I was at home, I was present. And you just have to find those kind of things that are you. And in particular for women, I always say to them, prioritize what makes you feel like you.
Wow.
And no one can tell you what that is. But in your heart, you know what that is. So you should do that.
Wow. That's good. That is really, really good. And I think that goes into making sure that you're positioning yourself to be your best, you know? And then I love this aspect because you are also helping us take the pressure off of like, we gotta be perfect. We gotta be on it, you know, where it's like, you have the aspect of like, all right, I'm working here and then I'm mom and then I'm friend. And then, you know what, you know, like you have all the modes and you're giving yourself the grace to do that. Just marvelous. So as we kind of land this plane, because, you know, now Sequence Partners is here, it's career empowerment. You know, what are some things that you're like looking forward to? Like, what are you looking forward to? Or what are some things that either has surprised you in this process? I'm interested.
I think one of the biggest things that has surprised me is people still struggling with giving themselves permission to prioritize themselves. And partially it's probably because I'm further down that route than I think most. And so I just see the better side of it. And so I just like want everyone to hurry up and come with me. But you know, the things that I'm looking forward to is I've been building really great partnerships with recruiting firms so that once these people who have fallen to my community have prioritized themselves and really done the work to know what a career and positivity in their career looks like for them, we have this complete partnership that can help them land a role too. Because ultimately, I know that that's their goal. Knowing my customer, they want a job. And so I want to make sure that I can help get them there. And so continuing to build those partnerships is really important to me in the future.
That's outstanding, because, you know, when we often think about partnerships, and this is just something that I've often thought about, which is, you know, you have ones that are strictly transactional. You got partnerships and, you know, where, or, you know, you're building up your network, and, you know, then you got, you know, your battle buddies, and you got folks that are there for you, and you got your, you know, your peer to peer and all these different, you know, we call like a mind mapping of like all these different types of things when it comes to partnerships. But here's a piece of it where you have touched on it, but I want to make it really clear and distinct. The values piece, because early in your career, you talked about the why, but you also talked about the values piece in your career path and what you were seeing and what you weren't. Now with the partnerships piece, what do you look for when partnerships? Because, you know, you're probably not taking everybody, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like open door, like, you know, like, so what does a partnership piece look like for you?
For me, it really is about those values. And I'm glad you brought that up. And it's are they also supporting my community in similar ways that I am?
Yeah.
And I have conversations with all of them. When I create a landing page for, if they refer people to my website, I want that landing page to feel continuous to experience they had on someone else's landing page. Yeah. Or if we are referring, like, directly, I'm in a conversation and I refer you to them, I want to tell you, like, hey, this is the founder's name. This is what the experience is going to look like for you. This is what to expect. Because you're right, from a partner, I need to know what that experience is, because it's it's extension.
Yes, it is.
Of the experience that I'm building for my customers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. And, you know, being able to articulate that, well, first of all, knowing the values, articulating, and then being on the same page. It's like three steps in all in one to be able to do that. Man, you know, folks, as Gabrielle said, it's almost like this is like we can pour another cup of coffee or tea and go in. But we also know that there are things that still need to be built and developed and all of the things. And so I'd love for you to just tell our listeners, you know, either one or two kind of pro tips of things that people should keep in perspective when we're thinking about this aspect of building from scratch. So whether you are, you know, a PM, either a product or a project manager, or you're an entrepreneur, a visionary, you know, what are some, you know, one to two things that we should be keeping in mind?
Awesome. Very first one I will say is there actually is nothing from scratch. All of your life experiences have brought something and matter. So lean on them and trust in them and bring that into your confidence in yourself. And secondly, get out there and do it. Progress over perfection, learn as you go, and just tell yourself there is no such thing as failures.
Ah, that was really good. I just love that. And what can I say? Thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. I've enjoyed it. And this is definitely on the replay list for sure. So thank you so much for just giving your time and your story. I can't wait. I can't wait to just continue to see this journey unfold. And thank you all for listening. And this is another episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. This is the Built from Scratch series. And until next time, everyone, I will have all of Gabrielle's information so that you can connect with her, ask her follow-up questions. She's here to support your journey. And I'm just excited again to kind of see where everything lands. All right, everyone, until next time, see you later.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Ask Ash. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and follow Ashley on social media at Ashley_Schuler_. That's ASHLEYSHULER_.